This is the Shrimps Verdicts podcast. All opinions expressed are those of the individual contributors and not necessarily those of either Morecambe Football Club or of Beyond Radio.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.
This one is going to be switched right into the mixer. Plenty of white shirts in the Atkinson penalty area. Taylor's corner's a deep one. Well, it's headed just wide by Nelson Kumbeni. Up from the back. Great corner, that, from Jake. I think this is Atkinson's first corner of the afternoon. 21 and a half on the watch. It's going to be swung in by the left boot of Nola towards the near post, and it's tipped over the bar really well by Archie Mayer. He nearly got caught out napping there on the near post. It was Brad Hills with the effort up from the back, and that's a good tip over by Mayer. Taylor, middle of the park. Can Benny can nick it away, can he? Yes, he can. Here's Garner, who's going to try and chip Reddick. Oh, it nursed over the crossbar. That was a fine effort, that, from Jed Garner. He was a good 40 yards out, saw the keeper Radek Vitek off his line and not far over the crossbar. Edwards goes up and over looking for Jed Garner. Might get away here from the misheader from O'Brien. Garner's in the penalty area, chopping back onto his left foot. The breakaway's into the back of the net. It's a beautiful finish by Nelson Kumbeni. And it's a trademark Morecambe breakaway goal up from the back. Gwion Edwards doing the defending. Played the ball towards Jed Garner, and it was the left back Connor O'Brien. Got his angles all wrong with a header. Flicked it into Garner's path. He raced into the penalty area, shot back onto his left foot, and it was on a plate there. 15 or so yards out, Nelson Kumbeni with his first senior goal for Morecambe fires it past Radek Vitek, and in 54 minutes it's Accrington standing nil, Morecambe 1, Nelson Kumbeni. Accrington have had their dangerous moments in the final third, and they're not out of this one by a long way. Nolan from distance takes a deflection. Sean Wall is going to tap it in, is he? That's a great block by Archie Mayer at full stretch on the far post. I think it's going to be Charlie Brown. It's just going to get, it's going to have to get a little dink on this, because it's right on the edge of the area. Right hand side. In fact, it's gone low. It's gone into the back of the net for 2-0. And it's Charlie Brown for Morecambe who doubles the Shrimps' advantage, and it fooled everybody, that free kick. It was low and hard, near post. Brown provides the finish, doubles the Shrimps' advantage. Accrington Stanley nil, Morecambe 2, and it's Charlie Brown in front of a delighted away following. Atkinson trying to make strides down the right hand side. Jack Nolan chips the ball in. That's a great ball, and Shipley has headed it in for 2-1. And there might be hope for Stanley. Just as we tick into the 90th minute, cross from the left by Jack Nolan, and it was a substitute up from the back. And Lewis Shipley, good header down into the bottom corner, past the outstretched right arm of Archie Mayer. And there won't be the clean sheet that we were after this good Friday afternoon. And Accrington give themselves their glimmer of hope right at the end of the game here. Accrington 1, Morecambe 2. Ball in the penalty area. Sean Worley twisting and turning. That's a fine save by Archie Mayer. Low down to his left-hand side. And that has kept the game at 2-1. And if it stays 2-1, that's a large reason why.
Reaction to the action. This is the Shrimps Verdict on Beyond Radio.
And there it is. The referee puts the whistle to his lips, and it is a fine victory this good Friday afternoon for Morecambe. Goals in the second half from Nelson Kumbeni, and then a second one, we think, from Charlie Brown, or Chris Stokes might have got the final touch on it a few minutes later, which doubled Morecambe's lead. A bit nervy in the last few moments as a Shipley header in the last minute of the 90 pulled it back to 2-1. There were 9 minutes of stoppage time as well, but Morecambe have held their nerve, they kept their shape, kept their discipline, and that is a brilliant 3 points for Jed Brannan's men. It's Morecambe's first victory in 5 games after 4 straight defeats going into this Lancashire derby, and that puts us just a few points behind the top 7 with 6 games to go, and a huge, huge Morecambe Bay derby to come on Easter Monday against Barrow back at the Mazuma Mobile Stadium. not too much in it in the first half for either side, really. The closest that either team came to scoring was probably Accrington, actually, midway through the first half. A Brad Hill's effort, which was tipped over the bar by Archie Mayer. One of three world-class saves that Archie has made today, more than making up for the disappointing game he had last Saturday against Gillingham. We had our moments in the first half but didn't really test the keeper. 0-0 at the break was probably about right, but in the second half we came on strong. It was Nelson Kumbeni with his first goal in senior football, and his first for Morecambe, of course, 10 minutes after the restart, and it was a classic trademark Morecambe counter-attack breakaway goal. We got possession back from a corner. Gwion Edwards, right on the edge of his own penalty area, jinked round a couple of players and chipped the ball into the path of Jed Garner. Misheader from Conor O'Brien, the Accrington left back, and that allowed Garner to run in down the right hand side. Kept his cool, kept his composure, and he squared it for Nelson Kumbeni, who was hairing up through the middle, and he finished deliciously with his first senior goal, inside of his right foot, curling it past the outstretched right arm of the goalkeeper Radek Vitek. It was 2-0 7 minutes later. We had a free kick right on the edge of the Accrington Stanley penalty area. Shrimps were adamant that it was actually inside the box, but a free kick right on the penalty area line on the right hand side. We thought it'd be a chip towards the big players at the back post, but Charlie Brown left footed, went for the low option. We think it went straight in. Charlie Brown may well have got a touch, and Chris Stokes also claiming it as well. Perhaps it rebounded off the goalkeeper. It doesn't matter. It ended up in the back of the net, and that doubled Morecambe's advantage. And after that, we were very, very comfortable indeed. Archie Mayer called into action just on one more occasion, but as the minutes ticked down, we thought it was going to be quite a straightforward 2-0 victory, and that was until the 89th minute. Lewis Shipley reducing the arrears to 2-1. Great cross from the right hand side by Nolan, and Shipley, the substitute, nodded it in from about 6 yards out. An inexplicable 9 minutes of stoppage time added at the end of the game. There was no stoppage time at all at the end of the first half, but 9 minutes added on in the second half, and despite that, Accrington throwing the kitchen sink at Morecambe, but they couldn't break the door down. They were indebted though to Archie Mayer, a huge save deep in stoppage time. It was the veteran Sean Worley with it, left hand side of the penalty area, chopped back onto his right foot, and a massive hand, left, strong left hand down to his left hand side to keep the score at 2-1. So despite the fact we have won by 2-1, it is the Morecambe goalkeeper Archie Mayer who we can be thankful for, with 3 big saves, one deep in stoppage time to keep us in the lead. And you have to say, Morecambe's playoff ambitions are still very, very much alive. 4 straight defeats going into this one this afternoon, and last time I checked the live league table, we were just 3 points away from that top 7. It's tight, it's very tight. Barrow on Easter Monday, the Morecambe Bay Derby is going to be one heck of an occasion, and if we can get 3 points there, we could potentially be just a point outside the top 7 with 5 games of the League 2 campaign to go. It's going to be exciting, it's going to be tense, it's going to be nervous, it's going to be a roller coaster. And of course, Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio will bring you every kick of every single game between now and then.
Well, Jed, a fantastic win for you over Accrington today, a derby win. It was tough in the end, though. They came right back at you.
It really was, yeah. No, I thought we dominated the game today, first half, and till Stokesy went off second half. And then, obviously, we saw the collapse, and Aki come right at us, which we knew he would. But we showed good character and stuck in the end.
The first goal was always going to be vital to the game, and delighted for Nelson Kumbeni to get it.
Yeah, it was a fantastic move, a great finish by Nelson. Yeah, he's buzzing in the change room. He's absolutely made up. I made up for him. He's worked ever so hard since he's come in, and he deserves that.
How big a win was it for you after 4 successive defeats?
Well, only you'd say that. 4 defeats. I obviously had to get some type of result today for my own pride. But as I've said to you in the past, for the 4 defeats, we have played some good football, but obviously you've got to win the games. And today, obviously, we got the 3 points, and it's got us back in the mix.
Second goal, which just made things a bit easy for you at the time. Charlie Brown with a free kick, it could well have been a penalty as well leading up to it.
Well, I thought it was a penalty. It was definitely in the box, so I don't understand why you never give it. I don't even, to be honest, I don't think it was a foul. but he's given it, so it was in the box, so I don't know why he never gave a penalty, but obviously Charlie seen a keeper off his post and bends in the near post.
9 minutes of added time. Lewis Shipley gets one just before that to bring them back into the game. He'd lost Chris Stokes. That was a nervous 9 minutes, wasn't it?
About 2 hours. No, as you say, with Stokes, he was very good today, so when he come off, it sort of buckled us a little bit. But in the end, we dug in deep, and we got a few blocks, and they could have nicked it at the end, so it is what it is. We got away with it in the end.
You talk about a few blocks there. I thought Jacob Bedow, particularly in the defensive role, was outstanding.
I thought he was really good today. He threw himself on the line for the lads and blocking shots and winning headers. He was really good. He was really good today.
Now, we came here last week when we talked about Archie May, who'd had a bit of a nightmare for him, but today I thought again he was tremendous and two great saves near the end.
Yeah, people got him last week. You know what? If you look at his performances since he's come here, he's a young lad. He's not played in the league before. He's been absolutely brilliant for us, and obviously he had the blip last week. Hey ho. A lot of the other players have had blips, but they don't get the finger pointed at. But today he showed big character. He's got a big, looks like he's got a broken nose, so welcome to football, well done Archie.
And for you as well, on a personal level, to come back to Accrington, it must have been quite a strange day for you.
It is, yeah, it's good to be back, but it's not nice playing against Johnny, who's your friend. I was gutted, obviously, I made up with one, but I'm gutted for John, but he'll come back, he'll do really well.
Any injuries from today apart from Chris Stokes?
Stokes is hamstrings tight, but he hasn't pulled it, so that's a bonus, and everyone else is fine.
Well, John, a 2-1 Derby defeat for you today. Just your overall thoughts on the game.
I didn't think there was much in it, to be honest, Derek. I thought the first half, I think their keepers made a good save from a corner. And I think they've had the same as us, and we've had the same. Two corners, and keepers done well. Derek's done well, and Archie May's done well for them, tipping over there. But there wasn't much in the game, to be honest, first half. I think second half we started a little bit slower. I thought they started quite well, and then the first goal's crucial, isn't it? So, you know, the first goal goes in, and, you know, it's debatable whether it's a free kick on Connor. Garner's used his possible strength, but I thought he was doing that most games, So Connor's felt it was a foul, and then, you know, as I said, I think it's actually come from where it got the ball in the far corner, I think, from a throw-in, maybe. But anyway, so he thought it's a foul. We haven't reacted, and then the lads obviously finished it well. Second goal, I thought, was probably a free kick for us first. I know that they were all shouting it was inside the box and whatever, but he's got the other side of Joe, and then the ref said he's pulled his top. I don't know, I didn't see that. And then, obviously, I think Raddick's got to do better. He knows that himself. We just had a chat in there, so disappointing really with the second goal. But then the character of the team to come back, and you know, we go goals down, we give teams goals, and we sort of can't afford to do that, because all of a sudden we come into life, and you know, you've got young lads out there who sort of then want to play, you know, and we have got young lads get on the ball, they want to pass the ball, they get it wide, and then we've asked a load of questions. I mean, Sean Morley, I think, could have had 2 or 3 goals, and then Endo at the end, and you know, he's beating himself up there. I've just said to him, listen, I said, you've come on many a time and scored goals and scored winning goals, so You've done great. You've asked questions, and unfortunately it wasn't to be. We couldn't get that equaliser.
You got one back through Lewis Shipley, and there was 9 minutes of added time, and your lads gave everything, didn't they? They really, really put Morecambe under pressure for those final 9 minutes.
Yeah, well, as I said to you, Derek, I thought the character out the lads showed, but it's just going that goal behind. I mean, we can't give these goals away. If we start on the front foot, which we think we can, you know, I think we can take the team to and possibly try and get that first goal. But I thought the character of these young lads, you know, to play the way they're playing and ask Conor O'Brien to go and play from right back to left back, you know, it's difficult for him. He's a defender, but, you know, he's doing quite well there. So, you know, I was quite happy with what they showed and the response they showed. And as I said, you know, we've had chances to go and to get an equaliser at least.
It's obviously a big learning curve for yourself and for the players, isn't it, at this level towards the end of the season?
It is a big learning curve, yeah. I've just asked a question there. He said, you know, in terms of the next game. So I know it's quick games coming up. We've got Mansfield coming up soon. So, you know, we've just got to dust ourselves down and go again. But as I said, not much in the game. First goals changes the game slightly, if you like. And I couldn't ask any more out of the character and the way they finished the game, if you like.
Finally, I know we've talked about it all week, but how strange was it coming up against Jed today?
It was strange. I mean, Jed's a good lad. You know, he probably wants the best for me, I want the best for him, but obviously not today. So he's edged it today. So congratulate him and see where he takes it from here.
Well, Nelson, a vital win for you over Accrington this afternoon. And the first league goal for you, you must be delighted.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, over the moon's been waiting a long time. Everyone's been telling me to shoot and finally got in the box and managed to shoot even on the weak peg, managed to went in, and to be fair, I didn't really see it go in. I just eye on the ball and hit it, and luckily it went in, to be fair.
You seem to enjoy your celebrations.
Yeah, no, because it was a relief, massive relief. Been waiting, what, 13 games, 12, 13, and finally, and especially when it's sweet in the derby, you can't complain, can you?
It was such an important goal as well, because I always thought in this game today that the first goal was going to be vital, and you got it.
Yeah, I mean, whoever got it would have been vital regardless, and I mean, it's sweeter that it's me, and especially coming in and needed to make an impact, I think everyone needed to, and especially from the fact that we'd lost four on a bounce and we needed a reaction and been playing well, been performing well, and just the end of the stick hasn't been our way, and luckily today it went our way.
It made it a big win for you, didn't it, as well, with the four defeats in a row before it?
Yeah, massive again, like we talk about all week. It's been a derby building up to it. And especially off the back of four losses, and we needed a reaction. We needed to put a good performance in, and we needed a win, and luckily we got it. And I think deservedly we got it, not just luckily.
They made it tough for you at the end, though, didn't they? They pulled one back in the 89th minute, and then 9 minutes of added time. And that was hard to watch, I can tell you.
Yeah, it was hard to be involved in it, especially 9 minutes. And I think when we, especially when I asked the ref, I was thinking, could be a long time here, but boys dug in well and got the win in the end.
You had to show a different side of you today to get that win. Barrow on Monday now, that won't be easy either, will it? There's two teams there really vying for one of those playoff spots.
No, again, I think at the back end of the season, no game is easy. You're going into every game looking to win, and especially now we've got Barrow who are in and around it as well, just like we're close as well. And it's always going to be a difficult game, but we just got to, again, take this performance into the next one and look forward to it.
If you get the 3 points on Monday, that sets you up again nicely. It's been such an up-and-down, topsy-turvy season, even in the 12, 13 games you've been here.
Yeah, like, been saying it from a jump, and everyone's been saying it, like, every game matters, every point matters, and we look forward to Barrow, and we just hopefully we can go out again, put in another good performance like we did today, and get, hopefully, the 3 points.
Well, Nelson, a fantastic goal today and a fantastic win, well done.
No, thank you very much.
Nelson, how are you enjoying your first taste of EFL football?
I'm loving it, and I've been saying it all the time, and just every opportunity I get to play, and I just take every opportunity I can.
I spoke to somebody at AFC Fylde, and they said they were gutted to lose you when you were there earlier in the season, but obviously the chance comes along for an EFL move, and you had to take it.
Yeah, I mean, again, I said when I first joined, I enjoyed my time at Fylde. And again, I was thankful for them for giving me that opportunity. And obviously, I needed to go and push on a bit more, I think, come January. And the opportunity came and I took it and jumped at it. And the fact that a manager came in, took me pretty much, and everyone's taking me under the wings and giving me the first EFL taste of everything. And just been enjoying it more and more. And obviously, again, like I said, I give thanks to everything Fylde did, and I'm obviously being grateful for every opportunity I get, especially here at Morecambe.
And you're one of a number of players currently in the team and contributing to the team who are in the same position as you. It's their first taste of senior football, and so far so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them where it feels weird because even though I'm one of the first ones, or one of the young ones in coming in, and everyone's taken under, and especially been thrown into the playing every game as possibly can at the moment, and like myself, Joe Adams and Julian all coming in and pretty much like early loans, and so again we're enjoying the experience, and I can't be more grateful for everything that we're being given at the moment.
And you've played most of that with Jan Songo, hundreds of senior games of experience. You played the last couple with Jake Taylor, who's a slightly different player to Jan. How have you enjoyed that?
Yeah, both class players, and just taking everything I possibly can, every information on the training, and especially when we're playing. I mean, can't be grateful again. Like, both good players, really good players, and just trying to soak up as much information I possibly can in the amount of games we've got.
Do you feel then that you're a better player now than when you first joined the club?
Oh, 100%. I think I'm more confident in terms of, because it's my first EFL taste, and I feel like just getting information, especially not from just Jan and Jake, I think it's from everyone, whether it be the lads who, from the back, Stokesy, Joel, Badu, and then obviously from the front lads as well, being able to sniff in danger and making sure that the first passes go straight to them. I think that every situation that possibly comes around, and just taking it all in and flourishing, hopefully, like we can see from the performances.
Thanks so much as ever for downloading this episode of the Shrimps Verdict podcast, part of Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio. This is Dave Salmon. A busy old Easter weekend then, rumbles on Easter Monday back at the Mazuma Mobile Stadium. It's going to be a fantastic atmosphere against Barrow in League 2. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff once more. Join us on Shrimps Live. You can listen to the whole game for free if you're not heading down to the game on Beyond Radio's FM and DAB Plus services. That's 103.5 and 107.5 FM and DAB across North Lancashire and at Morecambe Bay. If you're outside of the transmission area, and you can also watch, of course, anywhere you like, including the UK, via ordinary, proper, legitimate means, if you catch me meaning, because it's not a Saturday game, of course. So you can go to MorecambeFC.com and you can subscribe via iFollow Shrimps as appropriate. But Jed and the boys would love your support. There's still a few tickets left if you fancy it. Also on the club's website, and there are hospitality options there for you as well. Let's look ahead to the game with the Bluebirds. Then it's the return to the Mazuma of Cole Stockton, of course, on Monday. We'll chat about that and much more with Barrow superfan Dave Ingham. Dave has been a Barrow fan for more years than he might admit, but he's been following the team home and away through good times and bad, and obviously the journey into the Football League a couple of years ago. The ideal man to get the full lowdown on Pete Wild's men ahead of their trip to the Mazuma this Easter Monday afternoon. So I suppose when you've been stood on the grass bank at Frickley in the non-league days, and you've now got the prospect of going next season, potentially a lot of football to be played, of course, but you'd be, you know, Hillsborough, Bloomfield Road, Pride Park, DW Stadium, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, that's quite something, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. I mean, some of the grounds that you visit in League Two are a good step up from what you get in non-league days. I mean, quite to be fair, a lot of League Two have been in the conference at some point, so we've kind of, you know, we've been there before. I think when we were at Wrexham on New Year's Day, the usual chant of, you know, where were you when you were not quite so good went up, and they just shouted back, well, we're playing you in the National League. Like, you know, that's where they were. But yeah, it's quite exciting sometimes when you look at the League Two list of clubs, and also who might come down from the Championship as to who you might be playing. You know, a Lancashire derby against Blackburn Rovers potentially. Well, that is, you know, that's miles in the future. I'm firmly a disciple of Pete Wild's philosophy of one game at a time, and don't get too excited.
It's all well and good going one game at a time, though, but when that game is a win, and then it's another win, and then you're still in the playoff spots, and then you're still in the playoff spots, and you're on the brink of top three, I mean, it's hard not to get excited, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, we had our bad spell in February. We had that terrible week where we had, you know, we lost at Wimbledon, lost at Salford, lost at home to Forest Green. And some people were catastrophising it and thinking, oh, this is it, you know, season over, it's all gone to pot. But, you know, our slump, we came out of it and we're still in a playoff position. So, yeah, it's been a really good season. And hopefully, there's still a month to go. It's boiling up for an exciting finish to the season as well.
So you're pretty much guaranteed a top seven finish. It's just a matter of where that might be now. Have you still got any designs on the top three, Dave? Or would seventh would do, really? I mean, as long as you're above the line, it doesn't really matter.
Indeed. I mean, personally, I don't think we've got much chance of automatics. But when you actually look at the league table and you think, well, if we win and, you know, Wrexham slip up and, you know, we've got a game in hand, then it's mathematically still possible. But, yeah, I think my focus has always been on that line, that final playoff spot. And, yeah, once you get into the playoffs, whether it's us or whether it's anyone else, everyone will be looking at each other thinking, well, they've got strengths, but they've also got weaknesses. You know, the teams that are in the playoff spot at the moment, we've won a few, we've lost a few, we've drawn a few. It's all up in the air, isn't it?
So why are you where you are then, Dave? Is it Pete Wild? Is it your good squad? Is it a combination? Is it a fluke? Why are you now comfortably in the playoff spots?
It's definitely not a fluke. I think after 30-odd games, there's no flukes involved. I'd say consistency is the key, to be honest. That comes from probably Pete Wild's interviews are the same now as they were in August. So one game at a time. He's got a target of 1.5 points per game, and he kind of breaks it up month by month. He claims he doesn't look at league tables, but I don't think I really believe that. But just taking it steady. If you look at the goals for and the goals against, we're in the bottom half for goals scored, but we've got the fourth best goal difference in the league, so that probably tells you where our strength lies, which is at the back, which is mid. That's not to say that we're a part of the bus team. I was looking at some stats the other day, and we went to Notts County just before they fell off the cliff, and they had 80% possession, but we had, you know, we had 11 attempts on goal compared to their 9. So we're quite happy to sit back and soak up the pressure, but we will counter-attack and we'll do it with purpose. You know, we're definitely not one of these teams that passes the ball just for the sake of it, but when we do get the ball, we like to get it in good areas and move quickly. And again, that's not us being a long ball. We can go long if we need to, but you know, we play some good football at times. But yeah, as I say, apart from that blip in February, we've just been grinding away, picking up points. You know, we've got an excellent home record, but we've been picking up points away from home. Just keep rolling. I think when we had our bad spell, you know, some people were panicking and saying, "Oh, we need to, you know, we can change the formation or get rid of that player or do this or do that." And Pete Wilder was just nice and calm, just said, "Look, what we've done has worked for 30 games. It's not worked this week, but it's 1 week out of, you know, a 40-week season or however long it is. Don't panic. Let's go back to basics." And I think we were quite lucky in the fact that we got a couple of games postponed, so we ended up with a 17-day break. And I think that just allowed everyone to just take a deep breath, calm down, focus on what we were good at. I think that they said they had quite a few meetings in training where some of the experienced guys, the guys who have been there and seen it and done it, have kind of led a few group discussions and said, "Look, you know, this happens. It happens to every team. Every team has a little bad spell. It's about how you group together and come out of it the other side." I mean, you know, every team has that bad spell. I think Morecambe are going through theirs at the minute, but there's nothing to say that they can't snap it back. You know, this weekend, it's perfectly plausible that you get 2 wins against Accrington, against us, and all of a sudden you're looking at the playoffs again. So believing in your processes, and we've recruited well by and large. You know, we've got a decent manager and decent staff, decent players. So it's a decent season.
Tell us about Cole Stockton then, Dave. He's done all right for you so far.
Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, when he first came, he was a bit rusty because obviously he's not really been playing for Burton. But yeah, he's settled into the group well. He seems to be the number one striker. We seem to rotate who his partner is. So he's played up front with Telford and Whitfield and Aqua. But it seems to be Stockton plus one. He likes a shot, doesn't he? From long range, he's not shy yes. of letting fire from distance. I think he's the first striker we've had for a long, long time who will kind of pick the ball up on the turn 30 yards out. His first thought is to, you know, start have a pop at goal, which is good. I mean, as I said, we don't struggle to score goals, but we're not exactly prolific. But so to have a striker whose first thought at all times is to, you know, is to have a pop at goal is refreshing. And that's not to say he's greedy. He's, you know, he's a good link man as well. He's, you know, he's an all-round good player. Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening with next season, but I think we did well to get him in. Obviously, we had to move a couple of players out to get him in, but I think yeah, he's definitely a good signing, and hopefully again he's got that experience of going through playoffs and with another experienced head on the pitch who can maybe help some of the younger ones or the ones who haven't had a proven campaign under the belt. It's another experienced player. And I think if you look across our team, we've got in every part of the pitch, we've got experienced players who've won promotion from League Two, so they can you know, share that experience. And yeah, certainly adds to the group.
And I suppose, obviously, this is his first time back playing against Morecambe since he left us. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of welcome he gets, really. I think by and large, you'll get a warm welcome because, I mean, let's be honest, it was Cole's goals that were a large reason why we got promoted. And definitely his 26 goals in our first season in League One was one of the main reasons why we stayed up for a second season. So there's no reason why you won't get a warm welcome. Some people will be disappointed with his output in the second season in League One before he left the club in the summer last year. But it's going to be a handful, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's given a few interviews since he's been with Barrow, and he's always talked highly of his time at Morecambe, you know, the supporters and, you know, the support that he got when he was there. I mean, he kind of mentioned in passing that he didn't get offered a contract. So whether that was something that was off the field and they thought there was no point because he was getting better offers from higher up the pyramid, I genuinely don't know. I think I posted on the Morecambe forum this week that if he does play and he does score, then I don't think he'll do the full Adebayor kind of run the full length of the pitch and knee slides in front of the Halo Terrace. I think he'll be quite muted about it, and he'll I'm sure he's got lots of friends still behind the scenes at Morecambe. He'll go and speak to the kit man and the deals and all the people that make football clubs tick, and he seems from the interviews and the kind of the whispers that you hear on the terraces and stuff that he's a good lad, he's a good character around the place, and he's certainly settled in well with our squad. But football supporters are football supporters. I'm sure there'll be a few that will applaud him, but if he scores a hat trick, they'll give him an earful on the way out. Or if Morecambe win, there'll be a bit of Schadenfreude on there, and here's what you could have won cold if you'd have stuck around. So it's all part of the game, isn't it? It's all part of the it's all part of what goes around football. It's all good fun.
And we've got Jed Garner, of course, and for us for the rest of this season, he's done okay as Jed. He's scored some brilliant goals. He's also had some games when he's been absolutely anonymous. I suppose you're going to tell me, well, yeah, that's no surprise because that's how he was for us.
There's a player in there, but if you look at his goal scoring record, he's our record signing. He's a centre forward, and his goal scoring record just wasn't that good. He showed some really good touches. The lad I stand with, I kept saying he reminded me of Teddy Sheringham. He's just that nice, clever, neat player who'd maybe come back and link up play, but then look to get in the box. But yeah, it never quite worked for him, and whether that's our style of play, because if you look at some of the players we've had over the years, Dom Telford is another one who's had a prolific record in the past, but he's not really been that prolific with us, and he's not a bad player and he gets in good positions, but maybe it's just our style of play that don't get the best out of the foxes in the box, as it were. But I know Pete Wild rates Garner, and whether he thinks that this is just a way of kind of giving him a change of scenery to freshen him up for next season. So I don't think we were looking to make any additions in January. I think he started by saying if we, nobody in, nobody out will be fine. But then we quickly lost Duffus to Hartlepool and obviously Garner to yourselves, which, made it possible to bring Cole Stockton in. But I think he's rated and I think he's popular within the team. But as I say, he was a centre forward that didn't score that many goals. You look at it in those bare statistical terms, and it hasn't worked. So, as I say, it's a bit frustrating, really, because there's a player there, and if you look at certainly when he was younger, he was very prolific. And I think that's probably where Jed Brannan knew from, like the kind of the youth football coming through on Merseyside, and that's probably where he thought, if I can get him going again, then we'll have a player on our hands. But there was a moment for me when we played Accrington over Christmas, and he was playing, and the ball spilled loose from midfield, and you just thought, right, go and get it, turn, and you're in on goal. And he just kind of gave up, and he's just stood there with his hands on his hips, and the whole crowd just went, well, I won't repeat it because you'll have to get your bleep button out there. But it was frustrating, to say the least, and you're just thinking about, you're a fella who's probably, he's probably fourth-choice striker. You're looking to establish yourself. You obviously rate yourself as a player, because all players do. Don't do that. There's a loose ball there. Don't stand there with your hands on your hips when it's 1-1, and we're looking to, we're chasing promotion. That's not how you endear yourself to a crowd, is it? So there was he got a bit of stick when he left, when the loan deal was announced. He got a bit of stick on social media, as everybody does, because that's what social media is, isn't it? Everything's black and white. I tend to stay in the grey myself and think there's a lot of nuance about things, but he got a bit of stick. But I think what those people kind of forgotten is that he's still our player for next season. So I wanted him to go to Morecambe, do all right, come back as a good, confident player in the summer, and we've maybe got a goal scorer on our hands for next season, or failing that, someone that we could maybe sell and reinvest that money in the squad. So I wished him well when he went, but as you say, he seems to have blown hot and cold. I was getting a few messages a couple of lads who I know who follow you guys, but when he first joined, oh, he's brilliant, this fella, you know, why have you let him go? And it's like, just give me a few games. Let's see if you get the same Jed Garner that we've got. So, yeah, as I say, there's a player in there. The manager who gets him to play to his potential 8 or 9 games out of 10 will have a hell of a player on the hands. But, yeah, it's up to him, isn't it? Is he going to be one of these players? We've all seen them over the years who've got all the talent in the world. They get to 30 and they play for Prescott Cables and think, oh, could have done better with myself with my career there. But yeah, I wish him well. I mean, I don't think he'll be playing on Monday because...
No, I suspect he's not eligible.
A bit daft if we got beaten into it. Yeah, and a low knee, but yeah, any other game, yeah, I hope he does all right. Yeah.
So it's going to be a good atmosphere. That's taken as a given, isn't it, I suppose? We're going to be playing on a better pitch. I mean, a marginally better pitch. I mean, it's a bit thin, the playing surface at the Mazuma at the moment, but it's certainly not the beach that is Holker Street, that's for certain. So hopefully we can get our passing game going a little bit better. What are you expecting on the field then, Dave, on Monday?
The pitch is often mentioned at Holker Street, and obviously it's not been great this season. But it's not as though it's not been a premeditated plan, kind of John Beck style or Wimbledon style, to kind of, you know, cover it in sand and grow the grass long and all these sorts of things. I mean, we went to Milton Keynes not long after we played yourselves at Holker Street, and you know they've got the best surface in the division, and we had the most possession that we've had all season. You know, we popped it about lovely. I mean, we've got some lovely footballers. You know, we've got a lad on loan from Liverpool who's obviously grown up playing on manicured pitches his entire life. So, you know, you're not going to sign players like that if you think you're just going to have a rubbish pitch and just kind of battle and lump it. So, yeah, if the surface is better, that'll suit us as well, to be honest. In terms of the game, again, we'll be our usual solid, hard to beat. Pete Wild's attitude is always any point on the road is a good point, which I agree with. So we're not going to come all guns blazing, but at the same time, you know, we will look to attack when the opportunities arise. As I mentioned that Notts County game. As I say, they had 80% possession, but we had 4 shots on goal in the first 5 minutes. We totally picked them apart. I think the key battle, looking at the stats, is I think Jordan Slew's your top guy now that
he is, yeah.
Now that Mickey Mellon's disappeared. 8 goals, 5 assists. And I think, to be honest, if we've had a weakness all season, it's been in the right wing back slot. I think a lot of our goals that we've conceded have come from that area of the pitch. So it'd be really interesting to see how we handle it. I think we've had 3 guys who've played right wing back, so we've had Dave Worrell, Lucas Stevenson and Tyrell Warren. So I think probably Warren's the more defensive option. So if we're looking at snuffing out your threats, then we'll probably go with Warren at right wing back. But on the other side, we'll have Elliot Newby, who's a good attacking threat. We've got lads in midfield like Kean Spence and Dean Campbell, who know where the goal is. And obviously we'll have Cole and one other good striker up top. So I think our captain, Niall Canavan's been missing the last couple of weeks, and when he kind of missed when he was first injured, a lot of us were really worried because he's basically played every minute of every game that Pete Wild's been in charge. He's been an absolute rock. But for him to go missing, a few of us were a bit worried. But Rory Feely stepped up fantastically well. You know, we've been keeping clean sheets, so I don't think Canavan will be back for Monday. But you know, James Chester just uses class. He's brilliant. And there's been a few times where he's missed games because we've kind of had to manage his games because he's played 30 odd for us this season, and in the last couple of seasons he's played kind of sevens and eights, so he's not really his body's getting used to having a full season again. But when he plays, he's a nice, calm and steady influence at the back. George Ray's been improved this season. Paul Farman, again, between the sticks. I think he's on 14 clean sheets for the season, second in the league behind the lad at Wimbledon. So all of our senior players have hit the straps this season and are putting in good seasons. So, you know, if we play to our potential, we'll be solid. We'll be hard to break down. But then, what keeps popping in my mind is that, you know, that bad week where Salford ripped us apart and put five into us. So we're a League Two team, Dave. We're not perfect. We've got our strengths. We've got our weaknesses. We tend to get it right 8 weeks out of 10. But you know, there are those odd weeks where it all falls apart, and you wonder what they were doing in training all week. So going back to that Pete Wild thing, it's game by game. Don't get too carried away. We've got Grimsby later today, which, you know, they've been on an all right run, Grimsby. I think Dave Artell's kind of, you know, he should keep them up. He's maybe had to modify his style slightly from the purest passing football that he wants to play with what he's got. He's basically trying to play passing football with a Paul Hurst squad, who's a bit more gritty and a bit more direct. So, you know, maybe they'll be a different proposition next season. But as for this season, you know, he's just got to look to keep them safe, hasn't he? Keep them solid. So we'll see what happens today, and then it's on to Monday. So from 5 o'clock, that's when the nerves will start to kick in, and the anticipation will start to rise, and no doubt my phone will go daft with people asking me where I'm drinking on Monday and all that sort of thing. It's all good stuff.
All good stuff indeed, Dave. Right, I could chat to you for hours about football, mate, but we'll leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for jumping on our pod. Always appreciated your time. I know you're a very busy family man, lots to do, and getting ready for Easter stuff, so your time's appreciated. Well, last question before you go. Can you go up this season? Or more to the point, will you go up this season?
Can we? Yes. Will we? I don't know. I'm always a bit of a pessimist myself, so I'm always reluctant to bang the drum and say we're definitely going to do this, that and the other. But, you know, if we do make it into the playoffs, and you know, any of the other teams that we'd face in there, I'd fancy our chances on a one-off game. You know, whether you can win three of those games in a week or then the final, I don't know. But they'll be having exactly the same conversations, you know, amongst themselves. You know, do they fancy themselves coming to Barrow in a playoff semi-final? You know, will they be able to break us down on their own patch? And then, you know, Wembley, and it's a one-off occasion. But yeah, I'm going to stick to my Pete Wild philosophy and just take it one game at a time, Dave.
That's exactly the answer I thought you were going to give, and you didn't let me down. Dave, thanks very much, mate. Happy Easter, and we'll speak next time. Whether we're in the same division, who knows? But we'll talk next time. Cheers, mate.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.